This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car. This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hey, time for the morning. It is a Tuesday morning, 8:39. A lot of interesting stuff out there this morning. And one story that Chris has been kind of following this morning.
Yeah.
And I jumped on it a little bit late. And it's multifaceted, man.
Yeah. And
I mean, it is multifaceted.
Some people have been talking about this the last couple of days. It's about that company in Wisconsin. It's called Three Square Market.
Yep.
And the CEO of the company has announced that that they're going to be installing microchips into the hands of the employees who volunteer for it. You do have to volunteer at this point.
Yeah.
They're not making it mandatory, which is a nice thing. But you would have this little microchip put in your hand between your thumb and your index finger, so just very small.
Leaping out at me,
but
is the question why?
Okay, first of all, you wouldn't need to log into a computer. Instead, you just have your hand in front of it, and there you go.
Okay,
that'll save you from a few seconds of logging into the computer.
It'll save you.
In order to seconds. You don't need any more keys or fobs because. You just wave your hand in front of the door, and you can open doors that may be closed other places in the company. As far as using the copy machine, you don't need to put a code in or anything like that, or again, use a fob. You just put your hand near the copy machine, and they'll know it's you, and it'll allow you to do that. All these things that we do.
This is where we're going, isn't it?
Well, it is because everything. Everything is becoming electronic, and the more things that become electronic, the more safety precautions we have to use so that those things can't be hacked. There was a group in Finland, and they talked about this, but they were able to hack some company. I think this company had a big aquarium in their lobby. Okay, just an aquarium full of fish like you'd find, in some hotels or doctor's offices or, some restaurants and things. Just so, people sitting in the waiting room can have something to calm them, I suppose. And this company had their aquarium actually hooked up to the internet so people could, go in and look and see what the fish were doing today. There was a group in Finland, a group of hackers. They were able to hack into this company's systems and mess up their payroll and everything simply because they could get in through this aquarium that was hooked up to the internet. So all these different things that are possible now, we're still, as far as computers go, even though we've had computers probably since around the 1940s or so, as we know them now, but microchips came in much later, but even though we are still in relative infancy when it comes to computers, and we don't necessarily know how with the internet to keep everyone out of our business. And as a matter of fact, as we have said, people who voluntarily go on, Facebook and give them all their information, people who go on Twitter, give them all their information, we kind of do stuff like that. I try not to give as much as possible, but if you go on Amazon and buy something, before long, there isn't anything that somebody out there on an internet company doesn't have on you, that they know just about everything. And I think everybody has found these websites where you can, they advertise all over the place where you can find out the dirt on somebody, anybody, just by typing in their name. And they never tell you that it's going to cost you like 50, yeah. 50 bucks or something, which it is. But you put in somebody's name and they'll give you their address. They'll tell you their age. They'll tell you the names of some of their associates or their friends. And then they'll say, oh, by the way, if you'd like to know what their police record is, just register here. and you'd have to use a credit card to do so. So it's sort of like a detective agency, only it's just it's instant information on stuff that if you knew how, you could probably find yourself. However, so now that having been said,
that I'm still looking for a use here.
Yeah, that having been said, you can also make purchases in the canteen, you know, sure. in the cafeteria at the place, simply by waving your hand, and you don't have to have then a credit card or anything like that. Now, the CEO of this company, and again, it's called Three Square Market, says there will be no GPS tracking at all. Yeah, a lot of people have said that over the years. But there has been anyway.
But you read this story, and it keeps referring back to the fact that technology is already being used in Europe.
Yeah.
So, do we need to be like Europe? Or don't we want to be better than that?
Okay. And I think there are a lot of people who, let's see, last November voted Republican who think we don't need to be like Europe
yep.
in various other ways. And I guess the question that I have for you, and David, you know, I asked him this yesterday, and he said that he would not necessarily volunteer for this.
I wouldn't either.
And I don't believe I would volunteer for it.
Todd? So we have...
But okay.
We have the whole age group
yeah.
covered here.
Yeah. What we
nobody wants to do this.
What we want to know, though, is would you be a suspect about the whole...
Oh, hell yes.
About the whole no GPS tracking thing? Because I would be immediately.
Well, you know me. What's the thing they put on GM cars?
Oh, the OnStar.
OnStar.
Yeah.
No way.
I know. You don't even want OnStar.
No. No way. Except now... OnStar's done, right?
I'm not sure.
Because everybody has that stuff now.
Well, everybody has. Most people have, you know.
GPS.
Yeah, you know, GPS of some sort.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
I'm wondering what kind of mental attitude you have to work for Donald Trump.
Mental attitude?
The headline, current headline, political headline on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
White House issues new Sessions warning as Trump tears into AG. Okay, why would you take that? Now.
Why would you take a job if you thought he was going to tear into you that
way? Let's go to CNN. Trump slams Sessions. Rips DOJ in Twitter outburst.
Mm-hmm. That's a strange deal.
What kind of guy takes that job?
Well, I guess Jeff Sessions.
Obviously.
I guess what kind of a guy, you want to know what kind of a guy would keep the job after something like that happened. Because there are a lot of people who said that after the president tweeted that, you know, he was a little disturbed with the fact that the attorney general, Jeff Sessions, had... recused himself from the whole Russia probe.
Right.
When I think the president feels like he could have simply curtailed it or made it go away or, you know, told them that there was nothing to it. So just, you know, stop spending so much money on it. Whatever. I'm not entirely sure what he wanted him to do.
He's of the mind that we got the power. We're the United States of America.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
We got the power.
But Sessions recused himself because he thought, I guess he assumed that was the proper thing to do, or possibly a lawyer of some sort told him it was the proper
thing to do in
his particular case. However, since he did that, it meant that the investigation was going to go on and go on and go on and go on, which, of course, it is.
And get expensive.
And at some point, I guess the president will be within his right if he decides to say, okay, let's just put a stop to this. However... it's going to be one of those deals where, you know, you put a stop to when they're investigating essentially you and your cohorts or your people. And so it will make you seem guilty, even though, you know.
Well, certain extent, they all do.
Well, even though he, and we talked a little bit about this before, you know, when we were wondering, you know, why if you have met with Russians and they say, have you met with Russians, wouldn't you say anything about it? And the point was, did you meet with Russians as a campaign thing? Well, no, we didn't. did you meet with Russians as this? No, we didn't. So there are a lot of, if they figure it's not relevant, they don't put it down as, you know, as disclosure. And I can kind of understand that. I mean, these are guys who have meetings every single day, probably several times. I'm not one of those guys. I pointed that out to David. I said, you know, I probably go to 4 meetings a year, and I'm the only thing they all have in common is that I don't call any of them. You know, I kind of like it when people can explain something in a memo, because then I can keep referring to the memo, and I don't have to, you know, you don't have to assume you've showed up at the meeting or somebody missed the meeting, something like that.
Yeah, you got the hard copy in your hand.
Yeah.
And you're not wasting time.
But with Sessions, it's kind of a strange deal, because all the president really needs to do is call him, you know, call him in on the carpet or talk to him on the phone or something, and he can get his message across. And if he wants to fire him, he can do that. And if he wants to tell him, you know, get rid of this investigation, he can do that as well. But instead, he decided to mention him in a tweet and talk about how he maybe isn't doing his job very well, and then kind of leave it at that. And you know, why be so roundabout it? Just, you know, come directly to the point, I would think. But
I just wonder what kind of guy gets up on a Monday morning and goes, ah, another week, can't wait to get to work today.
Well, and
you know he's not feeling that.
Well, but Sessions, I mean, he is trying to get a lot of his own agenda done and the president's agenda done, which are very close. And so I think he thinks he can still be effective.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris. Chris's favorite new politician.
Oh, yeah. Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Here's a question for you. Let's say that Kid Rock were from Idaho instead of Michigan, but he was, other than that, he's exactly the same person. And for those of you who don't know who Kid Rock is, he kind of does various kinds of music. He's dabbled into country a little, but he started out basically doing a kind of a cross between hard rock and rap. And he's kind of all over the place. His real name is Robert Ritchie. Okay,
right.
But he's considering running for the U.S. Senate from Michigan, and it's the seat that's currently held by the Democrat Senator Debbie Stabenow. And Kid Rock would be the Republican. If somebody like Kid Rock were running from Idaho, and you agreed with his policies, whether you were a Democrat or a Republican, whatever he was, if you agreed with what he had to say, is he the sort of person that you would still vote for the Senate, or would you cross over and vote for the other person, or does it even matter about character anymore?
Well,
we were talking about this during the commercial just briefly. We were talking about this briefly during the commercial, and Todd mentioned, you know, Jesse Ventura when he was the the governor in Minnesota. And there have been various other celebrities who have been elected to Congress over time. And some of them, you know, and there have been some people who have been elected and they've come right out and said, okay, I have a checkered past. And people have said, okay, as long as you're not trying to hide it, we're fine. Mm-hmm. And I think, and you kind of alluded to, one of those people might be Donald Trump. Because during the campaign, a whole lot of things came out in the news indicating that, Donald Trump... has said things about women and various stuff like that. And in the past, you go back to past campaigns like Howard Dean. Remember Howard Dean led a cheer one time, hoo-ah, at a rally, and people said he was no longer fit to be president because he made some stupid sound. And Gary Hart had a picture of a woman sitting on his lap, and they said, well, he clearly, you know, can't be president. He has bad judgment. And you go clear back to 1972, you know, Edmund Muskie, and I think started to cry or weep a little bit at a press conference because somebody had been, you know, writing things about his wife, and he was trying to indicate that they weren't true. and people didn't want to vote for him for president because, you know, a tear had come down his face. Saying he was weak. But no matter what was said about Donald Trump during his campaign, he just kind of pushed through and he said, either it's not true or it doesn't matter, or he just ignored it completely and kept going on. And of course, he got elected. So is it necessarily the person that you are voting for at all anymore? Are you simply voting for an idea now? And if the idea happens to be in the form of Kid Rock, will you vote for it?
Well, here's the deal. Kid Rock said some pretty inflammatory things when this idea first came up. How exactly does a politician have their corruption implemented without gun-toting henchmen? Politicians are irrelevant without goons willing to kill for them and protect them from the law. Cops are far lower than anyone else. And then he uses a word I can't use. And more words I can't use.
Okay. So you've got a politician who basically on most things agrees with you. And yet he, and yet you do have a major difference in that maybe you respect policemen and respect the law, and he doesn't, because his lifestyle, you know, leads him to encounter police more often, and he doesn't think that they're fair. Do you still vote for him as opposed to the other candidate? And this was especially,
I don't know if I do, but here's a guy, another guy who reads this and goes, I wish people didn't need so much money to run because I would vote for people like, this is old, people like Trump, Carson, and Kid Rock.
Okay. Now, here, and again, well, okay, let's go back to November. There were a lot of people who didn't like Donald Trump, but they didn't want to vote Democrat, and they especially didn't like Hillary Clinton. And, of course, there were people who voted for Hillary Clinton because they didn't like Donald Trump. It kind of went both ways. And a lot of people were saying, well, you know, I'm just going to go for the lesser of two evils in this particular case. And I think this was the first time, at least in my lifetime, I don't know whether, you know, whether other people have gone through it before, but this is the first time that you had two candidates running for president. And there were such a large number of people that didn't seem to like either one of them, but ended up choosing one of them anyway. And because there were some people that thought Hillary Clinton would be the worst president in the world, and they, you know, they figured that she was a crook and all these different things. And the Clintons, you know, had, first of all, they'd already been in the White House for 8 years anyway, and on and on and on and on and on. And so they said, well, whoever runs against her, that's who I'm voting for. And it was Donald Trump. And they said, fine, he's still better than Hillary Clinton. And then there were other people who said, well, there's no way in the world I'd, you know, I'd vote for somebody like Donald Trump. And then they ended up voting for Donald Trump anyway because he was against Hillary Clinton and vice versa. There were people who said, well, normally I vote Republican, but I'm crossing over because, you know, Trump has said all these terrible things and I don't think he should be president and he'll be different, on and on and on and on.
And it was a tremendous thing because, as you mentioned, there have never been two despicable candidates to this degree before.
Well, at least considered that way. And, you know, I'm not going to judge
and
either.
And nobody knew what would happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So they let it play out, and we found out.
Yeah. And, of course, the vote was fairly close. Now, in terms of the Electoral College, you know, Trump had a huge win.
Sure.
And depending on who you believe, if you assume that all the voting was correct, then, of course, Hillary Clinton had about 3 million more votes. But again, we elect
play by the rules.
It's the Electoral College that elects a president, not the popular vote, and so that's irrelevant. But when you vote for president, or when you vote for governor, or when you vote for senator, or, you know, and occasionally, and this is what happens, you'll have any particular state, and 1 year they will go Democrat, and then a couple years later they'll kick that guy out or that woman out or whoever and go Republican. And then they'll go back to Democrat and then back to Republican. And a lot of times it seems to have more to do with the individual running or the two individuals running than it does the actual the platform of the party.
True.
But there are people, of course, who vote straight Republican and straight Democrat and you know, have never varied at all. But, you know, what do you do if somebody who essentially believes all the same things that you do is running, but you just don't like them? And I'm not going to say that I don't like Kid Rock, but he would make
Is he presidential timber?
I don't know. He would make a weird candidate.
Weird.
But he wouldn't be the first weird candidate we've ever had. It's 9:14. We'll take a break. If you'd like to be part of this conversation or answer that question, would you vote for somebody like Kid Rock? 336-3700. Call us right now. 336-3700. We'll be right back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code KID. Even Chris and I can spell KID.
K-I-D.
K-I-D.
Mm-hmm. Kid Rock is continuing to flirt with a Michigan Senate race.
Right.
Highlighting a conservative poll that's showing he would lead in a hypothetical matchup against Debbie Stabenow. Kid Rock tweeted
a
link.
Deb feel real good.
He tweeted a link to the Gateway Pundit, which if you've ever read it is definitely right leaning. And there was a Delphi Analytical poll. He was beating Debbie Stabenow 54% to 46% in that. I'm just wondering, you know, if you would vote for somebody like that, what do you do? I mean, the general question here is do you vote for a candidate based on if, you know, whether they believe what you believe, regardless of what you consider the character of that candidate to be?
Yeah, can you take him seriously? Let's go to John in Napa. John.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, this is a good subject. This touches everything that was in the last 30 years just about. I would have to say I don't even know. I don't know who Kid Rock is. Don't care. But I would vote for him in a New York minute, I guess they say, only because he's not got any, you know, vested interest in the establishment. And this goes back to the Oliver North thing. This is when I first became aware of what was going on around me as far as politics. Mm-hmm. I realized when Oliver North was on in the, you know, standing before the Senate, or was it the Congress? I'm not sure which. I didn't know back then what the difference was. That was us against them. I just had a what is going on with this? And then I thought, okay, well, it's the Republicans and the Democrats, and I must be a Republican. And then Ronald Reagan, of course, was in there, and I was all, you know, all about Ronald Reagan, and could tell the difference in the styles of leadership.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And now it's not that anymore. It's us against the establishment, and the establishment could be in either party. And as long as, and this is what's happening with Jeff Sessions, he is part of that old time establishment. That's why he's not getting anything done. He thought he could just be smart alecky and say, oh, you know, I will just recuse myself, because he didn't think he had anything to recuse himself of. Well, yeah. The Democrats or the establishment jumped all over that and made him guilty of something, so he had to do it. Same with Donald Trump. They brought up all these women who were supposedly had things to say about mm-hmm. him that he had done, but he didn't. They proved that they were lying, and they went away. And that's what we need in our country and our government, is people who will stand up to the bull crap, if I can say that.
Well, yeah, and that's a word we can definitely go with on the radio. That's fine.
Stand up to that mm-hmm. and say, well, I'm going to put up with it. Kid Rock, I don't know anything about his policies, but I would vote for him simply because he's not going to be part of the establishment.
Yeah.
And anything other than this establishment is better than what we got now.
And you're right when you talk about this going back at least 30 years. Because, okay, the whole Iran-Contra thing happened, and all of a sudden people said, okay, there were some things going on in the Reagan administration that weren't exactly above board necessarily. Now, I know you're talking about the Senate hearings when they were really grilling him.
Right.
There were some things that weren't above board, and yet the next election came, and they elected Reagan's vice president. And so there was nothing to that. And then the next election after that, they elected Bill Clinton. And for 4 years, all you heard about was all these things Bill Clinton had done when he was the governor of Arkansas. He was a philanderer, and he'd done all these different things. And this whole thing about Whitewater and all this came out. And then he got elected again in 1996. And then, you know, people elected George Bush, and there was a big deal about how, you know, he didn't know what he was doing, but he still got elected, reelected in 2004. There were people who thought Obama was completely failing at everything he was doing, and yet he got reelected. And now you've got, you know, Donald Trump as well, who has his issues. I mean, you mentioned some of the things going on, and yet he got elected. Is it even that important anymore what's in somebody's past, or are you simply voting to, you know, either make a change or not make a change as you want?
I can remember when you couldn't get elected because you were divorced.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then then Reagan was the first president who had ever been divorced.
Well, the Democrats have made that irrelevant.
Yeah.
When they put Bill Clinton in there and then give him a pass on actual rape, and then they turn around and have the audacity to bring up audio of Donald Trump saying some things he probably shouldn't have said, mm-hmm. that he didn't even actually do. He just said them. And they have some moral high ground to stand on when an actual rape happened.
Well, I think if you go back far enough, like people can remember, like if you went back to, okay, you had like Adlai Stevenson twice against Eisenhower. And, you know, neither of them had really too much in their background that was bad. But supposing they had, I don't think people would have voted for, if people would have said, you know, well, Adlai Stevenson did this. Oh, yeah, well, Eisenhower did this. People would have said, okay, fine, we're not going to vote for either one of them.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And that won't happen anymore.
Nope. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Paul Jay and Chris. Let's go to the phones. Hanging on has been Barbara of Shoshone. Barbara, good morning.
Hey there. I thought I'd call in because when you talked about voting for somebody because of how well you respect their integrity, despite what their views are, that was kind of me in 2012. I've always been an independent, but I changed to Republican just so I could go to the caucus and support Ron Paul, even though maybe only a third of what he says I can really agree with. But if you looked at his track record, you knew you were going to get what he said he was going to deliver. He was absolutely consistent over his history.
Yeah, Ron Paul's always been actually fairly libertarian in his views, and Rand Paul is the same way.
Right.
Okay, well, I appreciate that comment. Yeah. Thank you. You know,
I like her style.
Yeah, and there again is somebody who said, okay, I found a candidate that I thought was consistent, and you know, maybe even to the point of being predictable, at least I could know what to count on from them. You know, and not necessarily but predictable, but, you know, at least it has integrity, I guess. And so they voted for that instead of necessarily somebody who matched up, you know, more with their point of view.
Now, Todd, we had somebody call and say that we were talking about stupid stuff today, and why aren't we talking about the asteroid? The asteroid that was going to hit Earth at 2:38 in the morning Eastern time 2 weeks ago.
Is that because it didn't?
Well, we're still here.
Yeah, I imagine we are.
The 755-foot diameter projectile set to return every year until 2022. So apparently, you know, strike one.
All right, then.
What Okada, the asteroid.
Okay.
Asteroid was named after the year it was discovered, 2010. NY-65.
Well, you know, if you want to know the truth, I'm guessing that if an asteroid actually did hit the Earth, we wouldn't bother to talk about it because I don't think we'd be able to.
Probably not. So.
All right.
Yeah. Too bad. So sad. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, what was that actual rape that guy kept talking about. I mean, these Republicans, they got to quit being such crybabies about how the media is always picking on them all the time. I mean, it's just pathetic. I mean, the media, you know, they just constantly whine about being picked on, and they do the same thing.
Well, I didn't get into specifics because I was saying, you know, my point was that somebody says something negative about every candidate. And, you know, while some of it isn't proven and some of it, you know, isn't even close to being true, you still have those messages out there, and yet people hear them and still vote in a certain way.
Well, I don't, after this last election, I don't think there are any rules. I don't think people care about anything. I mean, you know, he's more of a Wall Street establishment candidate than anybody we've ever had. He's got more billionaires and Wall Street people working for him. That guy he just appointed, he came from Wall Street. So there's not anybody more establishment than him.
Somebody be elected who hasn't had anything bad said about him? Because you wouldn't. You know what I'm saying here? I'm saying that if you don't haven't heard enough or feel enough about this candidate to have anything bad stuck to him, does he have any opinions on anything?
Well, you know, for a while there, we were kind of getting to where we just expected everybody to be perfect. And in the past, we didn't. In the past, we didn't know what our politicians did.
True.
And then we went through a period in the 80s where everybody was, you know, so worried about everybody's character, anything anybody had done. Then we started paying too much attention to it. You know, if that's what you're saying. I mean, but you know, we didn't have this scrutiny over Eisenhower and you know,
even
Truman
though
and
he had a long-term affair in Europe.
Yeah, so we, you know, all that stuff, the press didn't talk about it, and then we started getting real moralistic about it, and now we don't care about a lot of those silly things. There are some things that matter, you know, but you know, I don't know. We've kind of opened it up too much, but I think it's just because for a while we were being so, we've been so careful and so judgmental, I guess would be the word, you know, and we're not anymore, and that's probably better, because you can't, if you just had politicians who were just perfect candidates and never done anything wrong, that would really limit who you could elect. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder who would get elected, though, you know?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks, Rich. That is a good point. Get elected?
It's really hard to figure that out. I mean, because you, it's like you said, there are very few people that run for office that they can't dig up something on.
And if you can't, do you just not care?
I don't know. Well, and things, you know,
it's
like you said, though, there are reasons that used to disqualify a candidate that apparently, you know, every time some candidate wins who, you know, this has happened to them. Reagan, for instance, had been divorced. Well, we'd never had a president
My
that
mother
was divorced
would never
before.
Vote for him.
Well, there had never been a Catholic president before John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay. There still has never been a Jewish president. There's still never been a female president. There's been one black president. And, somebody asked, you know, in the 1992 campaign, somebody asked Bill Clinton if he'd ever smoked marijuana before.
Yeah.
And I guess expecting if he said yes, that would completely disqualify him. And he said he'd been to a party one time where somebody handed him the cigarette. And then he, he put it up to his lips but didn't inhale it. And so he'd never actually smoked it before.
He was great at answering questions.
Well, people made fun of that.
Define sex.
But they did. But you know, and then of course when we had 8 years later, we had George W. Bush said, "Well, yeah, I used to be an alcoholic, and I also did some drugs and things like that, and cocaine and whatnot." And of course, he got elected twice. And then the next one was Obama, and Obama said, "Yeah, I used to be part of a club that we smoked marijuana all the time," and he got elected twice. So apparently, that has gone by the wayside. And now there's Trump, and you know, not only has he been divorced, but he's been divorced twice, and he still got elected. So apparently, that's not important to people anymore.
My mother was so moralistic; I can't imagine her around election time. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, she'd probably, you know, write in Pope Francis.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She'd think about it for sure. It's 9:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Got some instant messages.
I'm sorry, I'm looking out the window.
Oh, okay.
I don't see the asteroid. You think we're okay.
All right, then. Well, that is a good thing. Gary of Emmett said, imperfections in a candidate are magnified by the presidency. Look at history.
Yep.
I feel we got the least flawed of the last two candidates running for president. That said, President Trump talks about loyalty. I certainly hope he shows that loyalty to Attorney General Sessions. He may find no closer ally and no better friend for that post of Attorney General. Although President Trump seems consistent in some things, he is mercurial in others. Like many presidents in the past, he is about his agenda. He has a vision and believes that is why he was elected. The vision of the president isn't always what his voters saw when they voted for him. Sometimes voters see through their own eyes rather than the candidates. Trump voters seem to see a border wall, tax simplification, law and order, a strong military, and a Supreme Court nomination. They have only gotten the court appointment and Attorney General Sessions so far. To take away Attorney General Sessions would be to take away the law and order and the greatest advocate of the border wall in the administration. And to a certain extent, that is true because of everybody that was in the Senate at that time when Trump first announced that he was running for president, Sessions was the first one to endorse him. H.G. McCall says it is curious that the media focuses on tweets rather than what the administration is actually accomplishing. It is more important to know what bills are signed, what progress is made with various governmental issues, but instead the media is beating a dead horse about things that make the public think are important when they really aren't the focus of what the administration is there to do. The public can't get past media reports on dead horses that are way past importance to learn what our president is actually accomplishing. This is all just gossip that isn't interesting. I prefer to watch news that shows our president in meetings, signing bills, and getting down to work. Work I think he is doing daily, but we don't hear much about. Russia always has been and always will be a problem of some sort, from the time of Khrushchev pounding his shoe on the desk to now. Maybe Putin has inherited those shoes. He isn't as demonstrative as Khrushchev, but I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. So whatever Russia does is not news, and I think maybe a lot of what the media focuses on is a distraction to what is truly going on and what is important to the American people. Now,
but he hyped all of that stuff.
In some defense of that, I will say, however, that the media has always focused on the words of a president. If the president said something to a reporter, the media has always focused on that. If the president gave a speech, the media has always focused on that. And now you have a president who every single day says a whole bunch of different things and tweets them out. And so the media focuses on whatever he says. And I don't think that's really that unusual, if you want to know the truth.
No, and I think President Trump prefers it that way.
Well, you know,
at least, in that way.
I mean, when he tweets every morning, he more or less controls.
He does that for a reason.
Yeah, he more or less controls what the conversation is for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
So that could be exactly what he's doing.
Exactly.
Dave of Boise says, doesn't anybody else see that Sessions was paid off by Hillary not to testify against her? Isn't it crystal clear what's happening? What the hell is going on with our government? He doesn't. Not to mention we the people for allowing this to happen. No, I don't believe Sessions was paid off by Hillary Clinton. Sessions is practically the anti-Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
He's definitely anti-liberal. You know, Sessions is a guy who says, you know, first of all, he doesn't like the fact that there are states that are passing marijuana laws. You know, he just thinks that if you are caught smoking marijuana, you should go to prison for like 20 years. And that's the whole law and order thing about it. He says, you know, we already have laws. If you break them, you don't argue about whether they should be laws or not. You simply go to prison.
It's down there. It's in black and white. You broke it. You're gone.
Yeah, exactly. But he's also got other things in his past that are black and white as well.
Yep.
Mark in Meridian says the problem with the Senate and House investigative interview of Kushner is that he is not under oath. So can we really believe anything these chronic liars say? Kind of doubt it with their track record. The whole part about not being under oath is weird. And I think, as I said,
it is weird.
It's only so if you find out that somebody lied, you can't put them in jail for it because they weren't under oath. But as I pointed out yesterday, then what's the point of even having them testify? It occurs to me that any time you testify to the government, that you're supposedly under oath. Like, you know, when we fill out a tax return, if you lie on your tax return, you can go to jail for that because you are supposedly under oath when you're doing it, even though you didn't put your hand on the Bible and raise your other hand and repeat anything after the bailiff.
It's true stuff.
But, yeah, to not be under oath is just a strange thing. You know, I mean, I like to think I'm always under oath.
Well, I mean,
and if you basically tell the truth all the time, then you may, I guess you, so I supposedly think you are. I mean,
simply no control.
Yeah.
There's no control at all.
And David of Boise wanted to know about something else we talked about earlier when we were mentioning that the self-driving cars. He says, I'm curious to see what'll happen when a car in no hands automatic mode kills someone or even hurts them badly. Well, it has happened, actually. Whose fault will it be? The driver, the car company, or the car itself? It's inevitably going to happen. So I am curious how it will be judged. I believe the owner of the car will be liable.
Thank you. I think that's right. Which is why you and I are never going to have one.
Probably not.
Yeah. See you tomorrow. It's Open Phones Friday, coming up on Friday, but we'll be back tomorrow.
I'm a salesman.